Calling 911 when in an accident may just not be enough. Car accident, remember. After 911, call 411. 1-800-411-PAIN. 1-800-411-PAIN is a legal and medical referral service. Non-employee spokesperson.
The Riptide Music Festival, powered by Ford, on December 2nd and 3rd on Fort Lauderdale Beach. Now, Saturday features Cage the Elephant, Weezer, Andrew McMahon, In the Wilderness, Portugal the Man, and more. Sunday features Casey and the Sunshine Band, Foreigner's Lou Gramm, Morris Day, and The Time with a tribute to Prince, Loverboy and more to be announced. It's presented by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733. Underground Music, Blue Chair, Bay Rum. Please drink responsibly. Tickets are on sale right now. Go to theticketmiami.com. Alongside Greg Likens, I am Frito. A couple hours to go on the show. Did he hit a homer?
Are you kidding me? Giancarlo Stanton is not human right now. Unbelievable. He just homered again, Josh.
I was reading my liner here, and all of a sudden I look up, and he's in the dugout now just giving everybody high fives. His 23rd homer in the last 35 games.
Right, and 11 homers in 12 games.
God, just and off a phenomenal pitcher, Madison Bumgarner.
Madison Bumgarner is, I mean, they just showed a shot of him, and he's one of those guys that he gets real fiery on the mound, shows a lot of emotion. He was not pleased, and they're getting to him early on. It's 2-2 right now, but my goodness, Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, when on earth is this guy ever going to cool off? This is unbelievable. We were talking a little bit last night about it, Josh, that they might start pitching around him and not giving him pitches to hit. He just cranked another one.
Baumgartner just stared at the catcher at home plate. He didn't even turn around to see where that homer went. He knew from the sound of the bat, and we have the volume off here, but you could just tell he knew that homer, that hit was over the wall, and that's it, and he was gone, and Baumgartner was just disgusted with himself for allowing that homer. All right, why don't we go to headlines first, then we're going to talk about Giancarlo Stanton and the fact that the possibility exists that he could be traded. The hottest player in baseball right now could, in fact, be dealt, but first let's go to headlines.
Here's what's trending now in Miami on The Ticket, WAXYAM South Miami and FM 104.3 HD2 Miramar.
The radio home of the Miami Heat.
And as we said, Giancarlo Stanton just homered to left center, his 44th homer of the year. It tied the game at two apiece in the bottom of the third. Denard Span had a two-run homer in the top half of the inning. The Marlins led off the scoring in the first inning with Christian Yelich getting an RBI double. But right now, Giancarlo Stanton's 11th homer in the last 12 games, his 23rd round tripper in the last 35 games. Just an unbelievable streak. It's just, why don't more teams walk this guy? Just throw him four balls. You know, just you don't have to do that now. If you intentionally walk a guy, you just have to tell the ump, and the guy goes to first. Why are teams pitching to this?
Right, it expedites the process.
Yeah.
And we can get to this more after the headlines, but he's on pace for 60 home runs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, which, again, I know 44 home runs, you know, it's just 16 more, but with 45 games remaining, it's like, oh, my gosh. I mean, 45 games to get 16 more home runs, it's well within his reach if he can stay healthy.
You know, when he goes on the road, if you weren't planning to go see the team that, you know, where he's visiting, I would take my son, my daughter, my wife, girlfriend, anybody, just my buddy, go see Giancarlo Stanton. If the Marlins are coming to town, he is right now in baseball as good a reason as any to buy a ticket.
Oh, for sure. He's must watch. He was described in one article very accurately, the hottest hitter on planet Earth. And it's true. There was so much buzz about Aaron Judge after the home run derby, and, you know, rightfully so. But Stanton, to his credit, he stayed healthy now for the majority of his season. That's always been the thing that has knocked him, because when he's healthy, he produces. And he's been able to stay healthy up to this point. I don't want to jinx anything, especially considering all the Dolphins news we've been talking about. But, man, if he can stay healthy for the next 40-plus games, who knows? We could be talking about a post-steroid era 60-home-run season that has no question marks surrounding it and would seem to be the first 60-home-run season with legitimacy Roger Maris? Is that, could we say that?
Yeah.
I mean, with no questions about whether somebody's got performance-enhancing drugs associated with it. I mean, this could be huge for the game of baseball. And I know we'll get into this more in a second, but it does make you wonder, though, will he do that in a Marlins uniform?
Well, we'll talk about that. Let me finish with the updates here. Now, the list of Dolphins players lost the season and the injuries grew by one after practice today. Adam Gase said the cornerback Tony Lippett tore his Achilles tendon during yesterday's practice and will miss the 2017 season. This follows season-ending knee injuries by both quarterback Ryan Tannehill and linebacker Raekwon McMillan. Now, several reports have the Dolphins working out former Bengals linebacker Ray Maluga, who played in Cincinnati for then-linebackers coach and now Dolphins defensive coordinator Matt Burke. And the NFL Players Association announced today it has appealed the 6-game suspension for Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott. Now, the Marlins cleared waivers on Giancarlo Stanton. If you don't know what that means, that after the trade deadline in July, but before July 31st, before the trade deadline on that day, as long as a player doesn't have a no trade contact, you know, clause in his contract, you can trade him. You don't need to clear waivers. You don't need permission from another team. You don't need anything like that. You can trade anybody. Now, once the trade deadline passes and July 31st turns into August 1st, then you need to clear waivers on a player. If I want to trade, you know, Greg Likens, I've got to pass him through waivers. He's got to be available to every other team. And they can claim him starting with the team with the worst record, moving up to the team with the best record. If he goes unclaimed, now if he goes claimed, several things can happen because these are all what's called revocable waivers. If Greg gets claimed, I'm the GM of a team and Greg gets claimed, I can just let him go to that team and that team assumes his contract and they owe me nothing for compensation. I can negotiate with that team and that team only that put the claim on him, that was the team with the worst record who claimed him, and we can try to work out a deal. If we don't, then I can just pull him back and he's a member of my team and he cannot be dealt until the offseason. And so those are the three things. Now, it's no surprise at all that Giancarlo Stanton cleared waivers because if a team put in a claim, then the Marlins could say, you know what? Fine, he's yours. Because first of all, you need Giancarlo's permission. He's got a no trade clause. But a team didn't want to risk, say, assuming the entire contract that's left. And there's 10 years after this year, there's 10 years and $295 million left on that deal. That's a lot of money to be responsible for. And the claiming team, if the Marlins simply let him go to that team, would be on the hook for every penny of that. Now, the Marlins could negotiate with another team because he's got to be dealt. If the Marlins are going to deal him and he approves a deal, it's got to be by August 31st because then and only then would he be eligible for the postseason with the team that he would be dealt to. And so if a contending team wants him, they can't trade for him on September 1st and he'd be added to the playoff roster. So that makes no sense why a team would do that. And so often teams put their entire rosters through waivers at one time, everybody, and hundreds of players are put through waivers often at the same time. And clubs go through all the names, but, you know, it would be unlikely if any team put in a claim for him. Now, he might want to be dealt to a contending team. After all, you know, the Marlins, while playing well recently, are not going to make the playoffs. And Tyler Perk keeps saying, don't let go of the rope. You know, there are too many teams to climb for the Marlins to crawl back in to the wild card race. The incoming ownership group with Derek Jeter and the money man, Bruce Sherman, and other partners as well, they might want Stanton to be dealt. That's a lot of money. As unlikely as that sounds, it sounds counterintuitive, but the reason that they might want Giancarlo Stanton dealt is because that's a lot of money to be on the hook, $295 million, for a guy who until this season has been an enormous injury risk. I mean, he's missed 2 games this season. That's it. And that's a remarkable accomplishment for a guy who's missed so many games over the last 2 years. He's playing, and that contract runs until he's 37 years old. Now, that contract might look like a bargain in a few years, but right now, it might look like he's overpaid. But on the flip side of this, he's the hottest player in baseball right now. His stock has never been higher. And maybe, just maybe, they could get a ton in return for him. The reason, by the way, also, if the new ownership group wants him dealt, they might convey that. They probably would find a way, directly or indirectly, to convey that to Jeffrey Lurie and David Sampson, because they don't want to be the new ownership group that dealt the hottest player in baseball. That would be a black eye coming out of the gate right away for the new ownership group. Better to let Jeffrey Lurie take just another black eye. He's taken so many of them from the South Florida media and fans. And people say, well, why would you do this? You know, Marlins fans are going to be angry. They don't show up anyway. So what's the point? I mean, if it's fine to be angry, but put your money where your mouth is and go out to the games. It's like someone complaining about things and they don't vote. Well, then stop complaining. You've got a chance to vote and you don't. You've got nobody to blame but yourself. If you're complaining that Stanton might be dealt, but yet you don't go support the team and go to any games, well, then, you know, the opinion, the effect of your opinion is lessened because of that.
Oh, I guess, but at the same time, if you don't go to games because overall the product's not good outside of one guy, I can't blame people for not spending their hard-earned money and knowing it's going to go in the pocket of Jeffrey Lurie. I mean, that's one of the things I've heard from a lot of fans, is that once Jeffrey Lurie isn't the owner anymore, then I'll start going to the games. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen, but I would argue completely against what you're saying, Josh. I mean, I don't think the argument's lessened whatsoever. I would say that if fans say right now they don't want Giancarlo Stanton traded, it doesn't mean they're any less of a fan if they're not going out and watching the games. They're watching on TV every night and listening to
the ratings.
Rich Wolf.
Are the fourth.
So what?
They're the fourth worst in the major leagues.
The team's terrible.
No, but you know
what? The team isn't any good.
I've got to look and do my homework.
But still,
hang on. Like, since May, they've had a very good record.
But
one of the best in baseball.
So what? The team isn't going anywhere. We know they had no chance to make the playoffs yet again. They've got one really good player. And besides that, what else are you going to write home about? And you're going to blame this on the fans?
I'm not blaming the fans.
You're saying the argument is lessened. It's not lessened. The problem is their whole scenario as fans has been lessened because of Jeffrey Lurie, David Sampson, and everybody's been running the organization into the ground for the last however many number of years. So I don't say you can. I disagree with you completely that their argument is lessened because they don't go to the games. No, they don't have to go to the games if the product is terrible. And the product hasn't been very good outside of now one surge by Giancarlo Stanton. Yes, it's exciting, but it doesn't get me to want to go watch him play. I'll watch on TV. I'm excited to watch him, but I'm not going to spend money on the Marlins while Jeffrey Lurie and David Sampson are running things. I think that's fair for the fans to have that stance.
Well, but Jeffrey Lurie could say, you know, oh, fans are enraged. What fans? The TV ratings stink, okay? Nobody goes out to see the product.
Whose fault is that? It's his fault.
And I'm not defending Jeffrey Lurie. I've been as critical of him as anybody, but better for him to suffer this black eye than the new ownership group. The new ownership group might say to themselves, why shouldn't we deal? We can get a king's ransom if we deal. If Giancarlo Stanton is dealt, the return on investment would be higher now than probably they ever would get for him. He's never going to be hotter than he is right now. And his stock has never been higher. So trade him now, go young. And if I'm the new ownership group, guess what? That's what I want, because I'm not going to spend. I think it makes all the baseball sense in the world to deal him right now, because if you can get a ton for him, and teams now are wanting, you know, look, if it's at the trade deadline, you're probably going to get more than you would say in the offseason. That's the nature of the business. And if you can get just a ton in return for Giancarlo Stanton, as you say, the team isn't going in. They're chasing the Nationals, even with all the injuries that have hit that team, the latest one being Bryce Harper. They're light years ahead of where Miami is. Miami has no shot, despite what Chris Perkins says, in the All-Star, in the wild card race. They just don't. There are too many teams to overcome. So if I'm the new ownership group, I'd convey to Lurie, Sampson, whoever I could get in touch with, deal this guy. If you have a chance to deal him, you have our green light to deal him, this is a team. I'm not saying you have to scrap everybody.
But is the only positive thing you have going for you, and now you're going to get rid of him?
Because you could get so much in return. If I could get a lot of pitching for him, I would. They're so deficient in pitching right now, they need help. And if you could get some really good pitching for him right now, I would do it. I would make that trade. I think it's the smart baseball move. It's the right move at the right time.
Well, you take a look at their overall roster. Pitching has been the absolute problem with this team. I mean, between the starting pitching and some of it's due to injury, the bullpen hasn't been very good. So I agree with you. They need pitching. I would just question that when you look at the grand scheme of things, there is one resounding positive for the Marlins this season, and it's been Giancarlo Stanton.
Sure.
And so, you know, I think that that would be a difficult sell in general.
Sell to whom?
In general, that'd be a difficult sell.
To the
sell.
Non-existent Marlins fans?
The Marlins fans are there. They just don't want to support this owner.
Do you think, and I'm going off on a tangent here, Derek Jeter buys the club. He buys the club tomorrow. Obviously, going to take months for this to be approved. He buys the team tomorrow. There will be, briefly, a small bump in attendance. But you know what? That's going to ebb off, and then the team has to win consistently to maintain the fans coming out to the ballpark again. I think it'll be a very short-lived bump in attendance, and then things will be back to normal. There won't be the loathing of the club. Nobody hates the players. They hate the ownership group. But still, I think no one goes out there and pays money to see the owner, okay? Jeter can own the club. Jeter's going to be in the owner's suite, all right? His decisions will affect the club. The decisions he makes more likely deciding who runs the baseball side of the club rather than himself who makes those decisions. But that bump in attendance will be very, very brief.
Well, I don't disagree with you. It doesn't matter whether it's the Marlins or any team in South Florida. You have to be consistently putting a good product on the field if you're going to get the fans to come out consistently. But I just worry. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton, outside of the injury history, he is a proven commodity.
But that's an enormous contract to assume.
It is, but
just shy of $300 million.
But then you're putting faith in the idea that the Marlins are going to make a proper move via trade and get the proper assets there.
That's another discussion.
And they haven't proven that they can do that, at least with the current leadership in place.
Agreed.
So, you know, I understand what you're saying completely, Josh, and it makes sense in terms of they could get more now than, say, the offseason. But I would argue that in the offseason with Derek Jeter and Sherman, you know, we would assume officially coming into the fold and putting people in place that they want to be making these types of decisions, I would have more faith in that than this group currently trying to get prospects or, you know, I don't know what they would get in terms of whether it be current MLB players or whether it be a bunch of players for the farm system, but they haven't proven that they can identify talent at that level on a very consistent basis, to say the least.
Now, Anthony in Miami, you hold on. Others welcome to join, wants to get to chime in on this. If anybody wants to, 786-360-0790. We'll take your calls next, right here on The Ticket. Facts it up here at every Friday with Romberg on the morning show. It's sponsored by Beautran Rum, the taste of perfection. Award-winning Beautran Rum, rum that is not just aged, but nurtured. Frito here alongside Greg Likens, talking about the possible dealing of Giancarlo Stanton. We didn't say, by the way, or we didn't say enough, is he's got to no trade. He's got to approve any deal. But if you, Giancarlo Stanton, had a chance to get out of Dodge here, especially if he had a chance to go to the West Coast where he's from, I think he would approve it in the blink of an eye.
To go to a contending team?
Yeah.
A team that is going to win more consistently?
Yeah, I don't think maybe necessarily the Padres or something, because they're far from contending. The Dodgers could absorb that contract. The Angels are always willing to spend money. San Francisco's having a down year, but I still think very highly of that organization. You know, put him in AT&T Park. Not that any park could hold him whatsoever. He's park-proof. He's that strong.
Yes, that's for sure.
The A's aren't going to take that deal. We know that.
No. But, yeah, so he's got to sign off on it, and the Marlins, you know, have to make sure that they're going to get enough in return in this hypothetical. And I know that I understand what you're saying, Josh, and maybe that is the best thing long term. I mean, heck, we experienced it with the Cubs, right, where they had a couple of terrible, terrible seasons. And
they lost 197 games over 2 years.
Right. So they really put in the work in terms of losing, but they did it for what we ultimately saw result in a World Series.
As did the Astros. Same thing.
Well, right. They've done that, and they're on the cusp of being the favorite in the American League entering this year's playoffs. So it works for some teams. I think it works, though, when you have Theo Epstein running the show, and he's got the track record and now has, you know, championships in Boston and Chicago.
Well, he's an instant Hall of Famer. He will be elected to Cooperstown very soon.
Right, so that's my concern. Like, I don't disagree with the notion necessarily that that might be the best baseball move for this organization, just to hit the reset button, and Stanton would be the one that you would have to make that happen with. But if it's the current regime that is making the move, then I have no trust whatsoever in their ability to get the proper assets in return.
And people are saying, people are texting in on the Coral Springs Automall Honda text line 67974. You know, I don't trust this regime. This is the same regime that dealt Miguel Cabrera to the Tigers. Well, Mike Hill, the current president of baseball operations, was the assistant GM at the time. He certainly was in the room when that trade was made. But Larry Beinfest is the one that had the final say. And on something that big, that had to cross Loria's desk to be sure. But, you know, at the time, the trade looked good. They got two. It turned out to be, you could make a case that that turned out to be the most lopsided, the worst trade in baseball history. You could make an argument that that was the case, and I would be hard-pressed to disagree with you. At the time, the two, they got six players.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, two of them were the main parts of this deal. Highly, highly regarded prospects. Outfielder Cameron Maben, and at that time, starter, now reliever, Andrew Miller, who we saw shine last year in the World Series for the Cleveland Indians.
Right, but we never saw any of that with the Marlins. And Maben's turned himself into a decent Major League Baseball player, but post his Marlins time.
I've talked about this before. Someone, this could be addressed to both of us. I assume it was for me because I'm a Cubs fan. Well, you are too. Would you trade Stanton for Theo Epstein? I've said this before. I would not trade Theo Epstein one-on-one for any player in baseball. Nobody. Because the general manager is worth more than any one player, and it's not even close. And one of the main reasons is, first of all, a single player is not going to make, turn an entire team around. You've got, look at the Angels, for instance. They got the best player in baseball in Mike Trout. They've also got future Hall of Famer Albert Pujols, and Mike Trout himself will one day be in Cooperstown. You know what? I mean, what have they done with those two guys on their team? Theo Epstein has affected the Cubs more than anybody, and guess what? You trade him for Stanton, or Mike Trout even up, or anybody, a Bryce Harper. Those guys could get injured tomorrow and never play again. Theo Epstein, as long as he's got his mind, can run a baseball team as long as he wants, okay? There's no injury risk with a president of baseball operations, none whatsoever, and the value to the team by far is more for a general manager than a great general manager than it is for any one player, and it's not even close, at least my opinion.
Well, and so the question is phrased, would you trade Stanton for Theo Epstein? So,
well, if I was the Marlins,
to answer the question, you would, but the Cubs aren't going to do that.
No, they would hang up the phone. Theo, well, you want to come down here?
The funny thing is, Theo would have to be the one who's like signing off, right? Because right. Who else is going to take the call?
Let's
on that?
See. I can work for Tom Ricketts, who's given me complete freedom, or I can work for Jeffrey Loria. No, I don't think so. And we'll, by the way, talk about, there was a great article in the New York Post about what kind of manager Derek Jeter would be. If you think he's going to come here and bring tons of analytics, according to a New York Post columnist, that isn't the case. We're going to be going to very old school baseball talent evaluation. Anthony is in Miami. Hello, Anthony.
Well, I disagree with you, bro. I hope to God they don't do that there.
Well, I didn't say it would depend on the deal, but I'd be open to listening to deals.
I ain't listening to nothing. I think I would sell. I would say the fans here are tired of going through loops and loops and loops with this ownership and the new ownership. I mean, why they just can't say, well, we sell it. Okay, we got a new ownership. The bad boys are out of here. Sell the organization to the community again and see if it works. If it don't work, I agree with you. Then it's time to change. Because I mean, you got a new thing now. You got Jeffrey Loria to be gone. Man, I don't want to get rid of John Carlos and all them guys. We just need a few. We can find a few good more pitchers to help us. We might have
How are you going to get that pitching if you don't deal Stanton? You're not going to sign. They already signed one high-priced free agent in Wei-Yin Chen, 5 years, $80 million. What's that gotten them? Absolutely nothing.
He was hurt, right?
Huh?
He's hurt, huh?
He's hurt, yeah. Yeah, so where are you going to acquire this great pitching that's suddenly going to vault the Marlins from second place and a distant second place to suddenly contenders, at least in their division or for the wild card?
Well, all the way now, with the garbage pitchers they got now, they ain't down by three. If they win tonight, they be down by two. I mean,
down by two and what?
They doing all right.
What do you mean down by two? Down by two and what?
I'm saying from 500.
Okay, but they're still, look at the wild card standings right now. They're Marlins right now are 8 games out of the second wild card spot.
But don't you think if we had Jose Fernandez, if we had him, we'd be above too.
Jose Fernandez has passed away. What do you mean if we had him? That can't happen anymore. I'm sorry to be blunt.
No, what I'm trying to say is that if we allow ourselves to go next year with Giancarlo Stanton, with all these guys together, they can find somebody out there to come in and help us out.
Who? How are you going to spend the
You never know who may get rid of somebody good and may help us out next year. We found these pitchers.
Okay, you get rid of somebody good. Are you going to sign pitching is the most expensive commodity in baseball by far, okay? Are you going to sign some guy as a free agent? The Marlins aren't going to write that check. And if you're going to trade somebody, who are you willing to give up from your roster to get quality pitching? You can't give up garbage and get something quality in return. It doesn't work that way just because Anthony in Miami is a Marlins fan.
Well, I'm telling you what, I wish the Marlins don't do what you say. I wish they wait a few years and build through the draft. We could build through the draft too. We could build through like all the teams have done.
Well,
I mean, the Yankees, they rebuild. Look at them, and they're coming back.
Well, they did some smart drafting, but they also traded players and got a haul in return.
Sebastian, 20, 30 years old. He's 50 years old. He's still pitching. He's doing good.
Sebastian. Well, they also signed him to an 8-year deal.
I'm telling you, man, if we give us a chance, we might do something. Don't be quick to throw away all our good players, man. Come on, let me go. Bye-bye.
All right.
Well, this is where I would agree with Anthony, though, and I would dispute some of what you were saying, Josh, is that right now we're operating under the assumption that, you know, Jeffrey Loria and the group that's currently running the franchise are going to be making these decisions. But if we wait on the Stanton trade until next year, right? So let's pause on this for a second.
All right.
And wait for an offseason to transpire in which Derek Jeter and Sherman are the main owners and they're putting their own people in place.
Okay.
Then I don't know why you would just assume that they couldn't go out and acquire talent or why they wouldn't be willing to spend money on talent that's out there in free agency or make some moves. I mean, you're acting like, well, they can't sign any pitchers because it's going to cost too much. How do we know what kind of payroll that they're going to operate under? We don't.
Well, I could look right now. It would take a little bit more time than I have during the break as to what their payroll obligations are. But
we don't know what this ownership group's approach to payroll is going to be.
No, but I look right now. I think the payroll is $115 million. I can't see a seismic shift upwards and say, all right, we're suddenly going to go to $150 million. I think the losses would be too much for Bruce Sherman or anybody else to absorb. I just think the revenues are that great that would support that. And because they got a lousy TV deal that runs for another 3 or 4 years, the attendance is next to nothing. I just don't think the revenues are there to suddenly support a significant spike in payroll.
I'm going to tell you one way the revenue is going to increase tenfold. And it's if you base this on the report that John Heyman had about Derek Jeter, he has already stated, at least behind the scenes, he's getting rid of the home run statue.
Yes, right.
I think that's going to lift morale throughout all of South Florida, baseball fans and otherwise, to get that stupid thing that is absolutely an abomination out of center field of Marlins Park and just remove that thing.
Well, I wonder, you know,
maybe I'm stretching a little bit.
No, you know what? what do you do with a statue? Do you have like a ceremony to destroy it?
Do you
sell it to somebody? Would somebody want that displayed in their yard?
I would argue, Josh, that they might be able to sell more tickets to a home run statue demolition than they would for any of these games the rest of the season.
You know what? You have an auction. Who gets to press the button that blows that thing up?
Yeah, and most of the time these things would go towards charity. Instead, this is going to go towards the payroll, right? So you know what? We're going to help out a little bit. So hopefully somebody really wealthy in Miami will put in a ton of money, and then they're going to just take that money, turn it around, and invest it in pitching.
You know what? I mean, I'm telling you, if you had like a fundraiser and you sell tickets, to put it equal, maybe not the highest bidder, you sell like raffle tickets. Winner gets to blow up the home run sculpture. You know, I think that would raise a ton of money.
I do too.
Winner gets to press that button.
Because part of it is just going to be everybody's jubilation that the ownership group has changed. And so we all know that nobody likes Jeffrey Loria and everything that's transpired there. So part of it is just going to be everybody's so giddy about that. Like, yeah, I'll go to that. I'll spend money on that. I'll buy tickets to that. And then the other part of it is nobody likes... How many people have you talked to that like that home run statue?
I don't. It's not that I like it. I'm just so used to it by now. But if it goes, I'm not going to miss it whatsoever.
Well, apparently, at least this is according to the report, Derek Jeter wants to get rid of that. That's one of the things he wants
to
accomplish.
That's fine. You know what? That's fine. But just pull that damn thing out of there. One guy said, texter writes in, you guys haven't mentioned Jordan at all. Jordan brand Marlins gear will increase revenue.
That's true. I don't know if that would happen because, you know, Major League Baseball has its own deals and everything. But if Jordan, because he is, you know, a very, I don't think he's invested a lot, but he is an investor in this ownership group. That'd be cool. If they started producing Jordan brand Marlins gear, I'm all in on that. I love the Jordan brand.
I told you last night, you knew I was going there. I didn't say it on the air until I got back, but my family and I went for 8 days and I came back to work yesterday to Hawaii. And so we're flying back. We left on Saturday, got home on Sunday. That's how long it took. It was 12 hours of travel. And so I returned the rent-a-car to the airport in Maui. And we're just taking a little shuttle bus to the terminal, not very far, just a couple of blocks. And I heard the driver had his radio on, you know, his not radio like you listen to us on the radio, but his radio's work radio on. So you could hear the other drivers talking to each other. And of all the things to mention 6,000 miles away in Hawaii, I could hear driver A say to driver B, hey, did you hear the Marlins are being sold? And I look at my wife and she's just laughing at this. And driver B said, yeah, I heard Michael Jordan's part of the group. Doesn't he own? And he's trying to think. And he said, the Washington Wizards. And I sort of yelled out, no, the Charlotte Hornets. And then the driver A says, no, it's the Hornets. So, you know, I was trying to get in on this conversation here. But of all the things to bring up 6,000 miles away, the Marlins sale was brought up. That was the last thing I thought I would ever hear about right there.
Yeah, especially among just Hawaiian citizens, right? I mean, these guys who are driving everybody around, that's what they're talking about of all things?
You know, it's funny because I saw in Hawaii, the news, the nightly news, and the guy was wearing, it was a man and a woman, just a Hawaiian shirt. That's how he did the news.
She's the news anchor?
Yes, and she's wearing this Hawaiian flowery dress. That's how they dress.
Cool.
And the news, that was pretty cool. I should have taken a photo of that.
I was going to say.
Well, you get it online. I'm sure I could look anywhere online.
Yeah, so this wasn't like a casual Friday. This was just their
this
every
was
night
there,
attire?
As far as I know, I didn't watch the news very often, but I just happened to flip like, oh, my God, that's the nightly news.
There you go. Show
that's pretty cool.
Comfortable, yeah.
All right, 786-360-0790. Billy, you hold on. Others, welcome to join. We're back after this on 790 The Ticket. Fantasy football players win your league. Come to the Ticket's third annual Anna Jarn Levine John Clayton Fantasy Football Camp with special guest CBSSports.com's Jamie Eisenberg. It's Saturday night, August 26th at the Sport of Kings at Gulf Spring Park from 6 to 9 p.m. It's free and you can win some exclusive one-on-one time with John Clayton Saturday afternoon. Just register now at theticketmiami.com. Anna Jarn Levine, accident attorneys, call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. It's sponsored by Palm Beach Harley. They're always the number one draft pick by Ripit Energy Fuel, by Crave Jerky, and by Champion 4x4. For more details on attending, again, for free, go to theticketmiami.com. That is a great, great event. I keep saying this every time I read that liner. My favorite annual event that we do here at AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD2, The Ticket. It's the third time John Clayton's been there, and Jamie Eisenberg, he was on our show last night, provided some really good advice. You just ask a ton of questions to these guys, and they will answer them and give you fantastic fantasy football advice. As drafts are just starting to get underway, you said yours is going to be this weekend. Mine is usually, the league I'm in, it usually does it just a day or two before the season starts, so you can account for all injuries that may happen between now and then. And it's a great, great event. I can't recommend highly enough coming to that. Again, that's the Sport of Kings at Gulfstream Park, August 26th from 6 to 9 p.m. Come out and stop by and say hello and get some great fantasy advice.
Yeah, and in my case, in my draft being this weekend, I'm going to come out there and figure out what I did right and what I did wrong in my draft. So I'll just have my results and then just get some advice from John Clayton and Jamie Eisenberg.
All right, you got it. That was Greg Likens. I am Frito here. We will take you up until 10 o'clock. Billy's on the line. Hello, Billy. Welcome to The Ticket.
Evening, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
I have a quick question, and I won't waste much of your time. I asked this question knowing full well that Jeffrey Luria has the right to sell and to get the most amount of money that he wants from his thing. So I'm assuming the Jeter Group hit the number that Jorge Mas wouldn't hit. But
reportedly $1.2 billion.
Right. Isn't it – and as this goes to MLB ownership approval, don't the other owners kind of have an obligation to look at the other, to maybe send Loria back towards Moss? Because if you sell to a group with 17, and, you know, obviously we're talking in insane terms of money here, but 17 millionaires who will be scraping the final number and really can't do anything with the payroll, as opposed to a billionaire who might have a couple of other investors that can get, that might actually be willing to spend. I feel like Loria was hell-bent on selling to Jeter no matter what. He just wanted them to hit the number, and maybe Moss valued the team a little, evaluated the team a little less than 1.2, and decided that, you know, he was going to get, he'd rather, Loria doesn't care, he's going to get his 1.2, but he really just wants to sell to Jeter. Doesn't Major League Baseball kind of owe it to the fans down here to maybe send him back to Moss, who might raise payroll and might improve the product down here?
Okay, you got it. I thought you were going to stay on the line. There are a couple of factors here, and I don't know, none of us know exactly what's going on behind the scenes. Now, reportedly, this group, the Jeter Group, led by money man Bruce Sherman, and when you have a conglomerate of owners, whether baseball requires one guy, they don't call it this anymore, but it's the same thing, to be a managing general partner. One person is designated as above all others in calling the shots. There has to be the greater of all equals, so to speak. That's going to be Bruce Sherman. He will appoint Derek Jeter to run, reportedly, the business side and the baseball side. But Bruce Sherman, everything, every big decision will ultimately cross his desk if he wants it to. Now, reportedly, this group bid $1.2 billion for the Marlins. Let's say the Moss group bid only $1.1 billion. You know, would baseball want to give up? Because, you know, would they want to sell this club? Because everybody benefits. The higher the cost of any club benefits subsequent sales, you know, from other clubs as the years unfold. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, probably has a lot more say in this than we know. He might have insisted that Derek Jeter be a part of any winning group, enough so that he could say, all right, Jeter is going to be part of your group. And he could have shifted Jeter from one group to another and say, all right, he was in group A, now he's in group B, and if Jeter isn't part of the group, guess what? I will get the eight owners I need to reject the sale. He only needs eight owners to reject it because you need 75% approval. Rob Manfred, as commissioner, has enormous influence in baseball, and he could give in seven other owners to vote no unless he, Rob Manfred, does what he considers to be in the best interests of baseball. And baseball, think about what baseball is getting. You got a chance to get rid of the most unpopular owner, not only by the fans of South Florida, but probably among his fellow owners who are sick of him pocketing, revenue sharing money. You can get rid of him and bring in Hall of Famer Derek Jeter. What are you going to do? That to me is an absolute no-brainer for any owner to say yes.
Right. It makes sense to have Derek Jeter be part of baseball in this capacity. I guess the question would be, Billy was kind of inferring that Jorge Moss would invest more. I mean, we don't know, do we?
No. And what if Moss, how much do these guys have to spend? You know, they're not going to let these guys borrow tons and tons and tons of money.
We do know that Moss is a Marlins season ticket holder, is from South Florida, has a very good reputation as a businessman, and is very well respected in this community and, you know, throughout the business world. So we know that he has, at the least, a very good pulse on the team and what's transpired over the years in South Florida with baseball. So that's one thing that I think really works in his favor. But I think at this point, it's time to move on from that because he's not a part of this. So the question I would have, and again, we don't know the answer until they start taking control, and that won't become official until the beginning of October, based on the vote that you were just describing. But I want to know whether this ownership group is planning to spend more money than Jeffrey Loria had for the majority of his tenure as an owner. And as you alluded to earlier, Josh, it would appear that Derek Jeter, as a baseball guy, is going to be looking at things and having an approach that's a little bit different from where the game seems to be headed, where it's all about the numbers and the sabermetrics and all those types of things.
No, I was reading a column by Kevin Kernan, a columnist for the New York Post. And he actually asked Derek Jeter years ago about possibly owning a team. And Derek Jeter had said, here, this is from the column. Consider the comment Jeter made to me at his locker several years before he retired. Here's a quote by Derek Jeter. Everything is about numbers today. This game is more than numbers, buddy. He went on to point the value of scouting, the value of allowing the player to think for himself and not becoming a numbers robot. Play the game, not the numbers. He said Jeter will use analytics to some degree, but he's not going to be ruled by analytics. I'm not saying, Greg, that analytics and sabermetrics are the end-all, be-all. But, you know, the Billy Beane, for instance, you know, the subject of Moneyball, I believe now because analytics has gotten not, you know, there's such a slim margin of error, maybe what one club does better than the other in terms of analytics, because a lot of them have such sophisticated analytics departments now. I've heard that Billy Beane has more scouts in the staff right now than he ever has. So I think the smart clubs use both. I think the Marlins were one of the last teams to hop on board that analytics train.
Which doesn't surprise you, does it?
No, not at all. If Derek Jeter goes backwards, I think that's a mistake. I think you need to use some combination of both. I remember, you know, Boog Shambi, our old friend, and, you know, used to be a big scouting guy, and now is a big analytics guy. And just to show you two schools of thought. Now, look, Larry Beinfest, who I don't believe has gotten a job in baseball since he was let go, but I asked Boog Shambi once, or I heard him say, I asked him if the numbers told you one thing, but a scouting report told you something else. You know, oh, you should get this player. He's great with, you know, just to throw a very simplistic thing. He's great with two strikes and men on scoring position. And the scout might look at his eyes and say, that's what my eyes tell me. But the numbers might tell you, you know what, he's not as good as you think. I'm making it as simplistic as possible. I said to Boog, if the numbers told you one thing and a scout told you something else, what would you believe? He said, I never forgot this quote. Boog said, I'd believe the numbers 11 times out of 10. Larry Beinfest, I interviewed him once, and he said I'd go with the scouting report every single time over the actual analytics numbers. So it's different schools of thought. I will say that Arizona had Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa in charge of the baseball operations and couldn't have gone more backwards than they did. They just weren't in tune with the times, which is funny because La Russa years ago was viewed as cutting edge when it came to using numbers and everything like that. And now he and Stewart were just woefully behind the times. I hope that Jeter won't do that to the Marlins in terms of player evaluation.
Yeah, and I'm with you wholeheartedly about the balance between the two because, yeah, if you have an example like you just gave where it's clear cut that the numbers indicate, hey, this is what this guy does well or he doesn't do well. I mean, like, why would you argue with that, right? I mean, that seems very straightforward. But I do think there is something to it, and you can make the comparison to the National Football League as well, right? When people get so caught up in the numbers from the combine versus actually watching. Like Jarvis Landry, for example. Jarvis Landry isn't going to put up impressive numbers when it comes to his physical tools. Like if you watch him run a 40, he's not going to be the fastest guy. He might not jump the highest. He might not have the measurables that you're looking for from a wide receiver in the NFL. But you get him out on the field on a game day, and he is going to be, if not the best, one of the best pure football players out there. And so the Dolphins, I thought, got a steal with him in the second round. But again, if you're just going by the numbers, Jarvis Landry isn't a very good football player. But if you put on the film, then it's like, holy cow. I mean, this guy, it doesn't matter if he's not as fast or he just finds a way to get it done. So that's why I do buy into what Derek Jeter, or at least the articles describing Derek Jeter as, is that, yes, I'm with you. You can't just have it one way or the other. You have to have the numbers there. And anybody who's smart in any line of work, baseball, sports, any kind of business, if you can take the numbers and then pair it up with, hey, whether you're evaluating character or determination, drive to win. And Theo Epstein talked a lot about that when it came to putting together this championship Cubs roster, where he wanted the right makeup of people, not just good or bad baseball players. I think there's something to that. So if Derek Jeter can bring in good people with a drive to succeed and a willingness to put forth whatever it takes to win and combine that with the numbers right, and it makes sense, then that's the best of both worlds.
By the way, anybody who listens to my show knows that I'm an enormous Cubs fan and Cowboys fan, and they have diametrically opposing priorities. The Cubs put the Cubs put enormous value in character. The Cowboys don't give a bleep about character, and look at all they've
drug
suffered.
History. You got some talent. Right. We'll bring you.
They don't give a bleep about character, and it's come to bite them in the ass again and again and again. And I think they're making woeful mistakes when they sign guys who are just character risks. All right, when we come back, speaking of football, we're going to go with the Dolphins. Has the season come to a halt before it started because of all these injuries? We'll talk about that next, right here on The Ticket.